Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Live. If we're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip.
All right there, you soldiers in the army of Yahweh. This is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this wake-up call is for the 3rd of August, 2017. And this show's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to ramble on a bit and make you think. I'm not going to quote chapter and verse scripture in this one. This is going to be a thinking show on your part. Think along with me today, please. The title of today's sermon is Good Things Happen to Bad People. Say what? That's right. Good things happen to bad people. Okay. I see a lot of this going on today, and I see our people bewildered and some other things that they shouldn't be because of these good things happening to bad people. Now let's examine the situation here. We've got people like George Soros, and he's definitely bad. He's sponsoring Black Lives Matter and all the violence and paying for a lot of the illegal immigration and flooding and destroying, and he's attacking the seed line of Jacob Israel because he's a Jew, and he's a very, very, very rich Jew. And he's got any kind of automobile he wants to be chauffeured in. I'm sure he doesn't bother to drive himself. Gigabucks coming in. All kinds of security. He feels and probably is perfectly safe from anyone that would wish to attack him. Can eat any kind of food he wants. He's an old man. I'm sure he has all kinds of the very best medical care, and he lives in posh surroundings, mansion here, mansion there, too many to mention. Ha ha. Oh man, he's just got it made according to the mindset of a lot of people. Got everything he wants. Okay, let's move on to the Clintons. Well, they've had a little rough road to hoe here a little bit lately, but it hasn't really touched them. Very wealthy. Very dishonest. A lot of deaths surrounding these people. But they pretty much have been able to do anything that they wanted. They're very, very wealthy. They have Secret Service. He's a former president. He gets Secret Service for life, I think. And she, well, she just does whatever evil, wicked things that she wants. And they're riding on top of the financial wave. They're living in the lap of luxury. And our people of true Israel see this, and it makes them wonder. Now, I'm going to get to all of this in a minute. Bear with me. If you've listened to my shows for any time, you know there's method in my madness. And I get to a point with all of this. This is a foundation that I'm building. Look at the Rothschilds. Have their own block over in London, I believe. They're barons. They've been titled nobility. Richest people in the world. They run countries. They finance wars. They arrange killings. They, too, can do anything they want in this world, and nobody can touch them. Right now, they're engineering all this action against our people, true Israel, the white race, with seeming impunity. Manchin, who knows where they are? I mean, they have deluxe mansions just about everywhere. They're above the law. They are puppet masters, and they have all these very important people as puppets on their string. They say jump, and the puppet says how high on the way up. They've got it made. They're riding high. Very, very high. They have no fear of retribution. You've got all these senators and congressmen, members of parliament, prime ministers, presidents, all seemingly walking in lockstep in order to destroy our race of people. And a lot of times these people are our own people. And it makes our people that have faith wonder. Very, very strange. The workings of the world. Okay? What world, though? Their world. Not ours, theirs. Because their master, the prince and power of the air, better known as the adversary or Ha-Shatan, is giving them their marching orders. And to ensure that there will be no rebellion against them, the orders against him, he makes sure that all his minions are riding on top of the financial wave. They have every creature comfort they can possibly want. They lack nothing as far as technology or pleasures, no matter how perverse. Some of these people like to have sex with little children and then kill them and eat them. You think that's outlandish? We are talking about people that worship the devil here. Because we can't conceive of doing anything like that. It is so opposite of what we stand for that we can't get a grasp on how anyone could do something so evil. Well, see, we're on the flip side, okay? They can't conceive of how anybody could serve Yahweh. Totally incomprehensible to those people. They are not like us. They don't think like us. A lot of them are genetically not like us. And we as Israelites have a hard time coming to grips with this. Very, very difficult. And we wonder, how can Yahweh allow all these absolutely demonically wicked people to have all these high positions of power and high station, money, pleasure of any type, stuff. Any stuff they want. They can have a different Mercedes-Benz for every day of the year of a different color. If they get too many cigarettes in the ashtray, they want a new one. Diamonds and rubies and emeralds, gold, silver, mansions, limousines, servants, gourmet food, people at your beck and call 24/7. And they've got all that stuff. And they do bad things all the time. And on the opposite side, you have righteous people that are trying to obey Yahweh's rules, struggling to survive. Hated, punished whenever possible, persecuted. I've been doing the study in the book of Job. And it has a lot to do with what's going on here today. I've been pointing this out. That Job was a righteous... pardon me, I have to cough. My lungs are bothering me. Just a second. Job was a righteous man. Pretty much. Okay, nobody's all the way righteous. Not one. But this old boy thought he was doing pretty good. And he had wife, and he had a beautiful house, and he had livestock. And he had a bunch of children, and he had homes, and he was just prospering away. And just giving glory to Yahweh for all of that. And one day, the adversary decides to come in front of Yahweh along with the other divine beings. And he said to the devil, Yahweh said, "Where have you been?" He says, "Oh, I've been down on the earth, walking to and fro in it." He says, "How'd you see my servant Job down there? There's nobody as righteous as Job. He is just perfect. Just does everything I want. He is an outstanding example of an Adam." The old devil says to Yahweh, "Well, yeah, because you've been hedging him around with all your protection. You don't let anything happen to him to shake his faith. I bet his faith wouldn't be all that good if you took all that away from him. What do you think?" And Yahweh says, the old devil, he says, "Well, I think Job is going to be a righteous man no matter what. And he's going to be thankful for what he has." And the old devil says to Yahweh, "Well, why don't you let me test him a little bit? And I bet he's not as faithful as you think he is." So Yahweh basically calls his bluff and says, "Oh, really? All right, you go down and test Job, but you can't kill him. You may not take his life." And the devil shakes his head and he says, "Okay." Because he had a plan. He had a plan to go down to this righteous man and virtually he can't kill him, but virtually, emotionally crush him. He can do that. He can affect people around him, but he can't touch Job. So he had a bunch of raiders steal all his livestock. And the worker comes running in, "Master, master, so-and-so has stolen all our livestock." "Well, what about our harvest?" And another messenger comes in. "Oh, they've stolen everything." And then another messenger comes in. "Oh, your sons and daughters were all at this one house eating. And a great wind came up and caught the corners of the house and collapsed it on them. And they're all dead." And Job is just stunned. Just, "Oh, why this punishment? I'm a righteous man. I'm trying to obey Yahweh's laws. I do everything he wants me to do." And his wife says to Job, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Another test. She's aiding and abetting. Well, Job says, Yahweh gives and Yahweh takes away. His will be done, basically. There's a lot more flowery speech to it. I'm making a synopsis out of this. And he defeats the purpose of the adversary. He doesn't curse Yahweh and put the blame on him. This is something that just happened, and he's in mourning. So the devil goes back up in front of Yahweh, and Yahweh asks him again, "What have you been doing?" "Oh, down on the earth, walking to and fro upon it." He says, "Oh, you notice my servant Job down there?" He's praising me and giving me glory, even though you've done all that to him. And he says, "Well, see, you've taken his stuff and his family and stuff, but you haven't touched him. if you were to afflict him and make him physically suffer, be a different story. I bet if you did that, he would curse you to your face. Now that's a direct quote. Curse you to your face. So Yahweh says, well, you can't take his life, but you can torment him. So the devil just proceeds to break poor Job out in a whole bunch of boils, and they just pop open and run, and pus and blood's running. He's scraping himself with a sharp piece of pottery, and he's sitting in the ashes with his clothes torn. He's mourning for his family that's been killed. And lo and behold, he doesn't curse Yahweh. But he has three friends come to meet him, and they get close and they don't even recognize the guy. He's so messed up with all these boils and ripped clothing and sitting in ashes, all dirty. And there's a tradition back then that if you're being punished with all these disasters, you must have sinned. You must have done something to bring this upon yourself. Well, see, they thought that. But old Job, he's just being used as a testing ground by Yahweh and the devil. He's going to prove the devil to be a fool. And all of these things happen, and his friends accuse him of sin. And he rebukes them and says, why do you think I have sinned? Because that's the tradition of men at that time. They don't know that there's this contest going on between the devil and Yahweh. And they're using Job as the pawn in the game. So Job is getting the brunt of it. And he says, why do the wicked prosper? Well, you see, good things were happening to bad people way back then. And the book of Job predates the writings of Moshe, the Torah. It's the oldest book in the Bible. All the way back then. And we fast forward to today and we see the same kind of people. And they're telling us, and our friends that are not of our belief tell us, that we've got to be sinners because we're being punished. Well, I got news for you. The whole nation of Israel is still in punishment for apostasy. Now, have we learned our lesson and come out of that apostasy as commanded? No, we have not. We as a nation have not. There are many individuals that have. And they will be saved from what is to come. But the massive majority of white Israelites are in nominal Christianity doing pagan things. Celebrating Christmas. An Ishtar Sunday, Easter egg hunts and bunnies for the goddess of fertility, and then all these other so-called holy days, which they translate as holidays. And the rich get richer because they worship the God of stuff. They don't worship Yahweh. They worship possessions that they have accumulated. The same way they did back in Job's time. Things have not changed. King Solomon wrote in the Proverbs, "There is nothing new under the sun." Been going on for a long, long time, thousands of years. Oh, we've progressed some technologically, but our biggest achievements and biggest biggest problem is the perception of our people has been so skewed by the children of the adversary that are promoting his program that the people that are receiving all these good things are good people, when they are not, they are bad people. And they are promoting the idea that we must be doing something wrong, like Job, because we're having such a hard time of it. Okay, we look around and we see the hard evidence that people that are doing wicked things are prospering. They even have churches out here. The prosperity doctrine. They teach that. Now, why is that? This goes back to the original plan by the adversary to do all these things to Job to break his faith and make him curse Yahweh. So he could do his petty little thing and say, "Aha! See? He cursed you. I told you he would. Nah. Childish, isn't it?" That's what he's doing. He's doing the one-upsman thing. One-upsmanship. In some petty competition with Yahweh. And Yahweh, again, is going to show him to be a fool. All right, you got all these very, very rich people. And then you have our people. Both the very rich that are prospering, going along with the way of the world, worshiping their stuff. And our people that are true Christians, not Judeo-Christianity, but really know Yahweh and want to obey Him, we don't worship stuff, because basically most of us don't have any. And we will not give up our beliefs, because we are stalwart in our beliefs, like old Job was. And we're not cursing Yahweh and blaming Yahweh for any problems that we might have, because we know, having studied the scripture, that our nation of Israel, true Israel, not the little state over in the Middle East, is still in the state of apostasy and still in the state of dispersion because of it. But you have two diametrically opposed opposed groups. But they have one thing in common. One binding factor. Everybody eventually wears out and dies. Our lives are temporary in these bodies. Planned obsolescence, okay? They wear out over time. I'm witness to that myself. We don't have any stuff here. Okay? We're not the prosperous, rich, megabuck people. But what we do have is things that we have built up. In Yahweh's Book of Life, that there will be a reckoning for. We have built up through righteousness that which is eternal, that will last. But the servants of the prince and power of the air have built up material wealth. And they are going to suffer the same bodily failure that we do. They're going to wear out and they're going to die. And everything that they have accumulated and their lust for things and power is going to go to somebody else. They're not going to take anything with them, because they have built up no treasures in heaven at all. Their treasures are of this world, and this world is of hay and stubble and will burn. And the ones that they are serving, the devil's children, are tares on two legs. And they will be bundled and burned. And they're not taking anything with them either. Everything they have is in this world. And this is their reward. This is all they've got. Now I ask you, it doesn't matter how many Federal Reserve notes or gold and silver, if you want hard money, how much of any of that would you put as a price that you would be willing to pay for eternal life? See, they've got the silver and the gold and the stuff, and that's all going to stay here. But they've substituted that silver and gold and power and pleasure for their eternal life. Now, the ones that weren't born of Adamic stock, that are not of Israel, they're not going to have eternal life anyway. So they got what they got while they were here. And they're going to have to leave every single cotton pick and bit of it behind. There's no U-Haul on the back of a hearse. They are laying up their treasures of earthly things that are going to be burned up. So the good things that you see happening to bad people is another deception by the adversary to break our faith. Well, look at my servant, George Soros. He's super rich, and he has everything that he wants. And if he gives an order for you to be killed, you'll be killed. He has power. I've given him power in my realm. The Earth. Old adversary up there. See? He worships me. Yeah? Well, old devil. Last I read in the book of Revelations, you're going to be bound up and you're going to be cast in a lake of fire too. So you laugh while you can, but I got news for you, old boy. He who laughs last laughs best. Because we who are of true Israel are of the chosen, set-apart ones of Yahweh. And when we are welcomed into His final establishment of the kingdom, we will have eternal life. That's what Yahshua did for us. He returned our chance at eternal life if we are obedient. If that terrible big two-letter word, if we follow Yahweh's laws. There's going to be many of our people, yes, that you have deceived, and you're going to drag them down to the pit with you. We understand that. But we are engaged in a spiritual warfare with you, Mr. Devil. And I read the last chapter of the book and we win. So you can do your delaying tactic and your deception, and you can be a roaring lion charging about seeing who you can destroy. But personally, I'm going to fight you tooth and nail with the greatest, sharpest sword in the world, and that is the Word of Yahweh. You stuff worshipers out there have a rude awakening coming, because everybody's time is getting short. Everybody's. Yours, mine, the guy next door, the guy down the street, the guy on the other side of the planet. All of these forecast prophecies are coming true one at a time, and they're mounting up and mounting up and mounting up, and the witness of what is going on is growing. The remnant itself is expanding. So, brothers and sisters, we do not need to worry about the smoke and mirrors of good things happening to bad people because they serve the bad divine being who is pale imitation of Yahweh. Hasn't got hardly any power. More than we do, and that's how he deceives us. But he has to do it with lies, and he has to do it with willing minions that are going to help promote those lies, and they are the stuff worshipers. And they think they're going to have smooth sailing, that the children of Yahweh will be defeated in their God of gold, silver, and Federal Reserve notes is going to prevail. They are very sad, sorry, sick individuals. And if they're of the Adamic seed line, we grieve for them because we see clearly what's waiting for them. stuff isn't going to make it through into the kingdom. It's going to be bundled and burned. Only that which is real, that which is holy and eternal, will make it into the kingdom. Only those people that have been obedient and are observant of the covenants made with Israel, all the way back to the covenant of Abraham, that made a covenant with Yahweh way back then. All those covenant believers and doers will receive eternal life if they have the Adamic seed line unblemished going through their veins. There's a lot of people that the churches have deluded. They've lied to them about their lifestyle choices, their sexual practices, on and on and on. You name it, they've been lied to, and they're believing those lies. Yahweh opens up the eyes of those that he chooses. Not everybody's gonna make it. I hate to say that. It bothers me. It grieves me. It causes me pain. And I just shake my head. And I want them to see so bad. I mean, I really do. I want them to have what I have in my heart and in my spirit, the blessings that I have. But that they've given themselves over to the world and hardened their hearts, stiffened their neck, just as our people Israel have done from the beginning. We always seem to think we know better than Yahweh. And we never cease to screw up. And we're allowing ourselves to be deceived by the false perception that good things are happening to bad people without a price to pay, that they are freely getting away with it. They are not. There is going to be an accounting, of their deeds in front of the throne of judgment, the same throne we will have to stand before. And we have one advantage, and that is our belief and acting on the commands of Yahshua Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh. He came down here and manifested himself as a baby, a young boy, a young man, a fully grown man, and then the perfect sacrifice. That was a gift of Yahweh to us. And how many people just poo-poo it? Oh, I don't want to hear all that religiosity stuff. Makes my head ache. Who do you think gave you your head? Oh, you don't want to hear that either. Just the Big Bang, and we all just sort of miraculously came to be. The Tooth Fairy brought us, right? Or the Easter Bunny left little eggs and we hatched. What does it take to get through to the stuff worshipers that their stuff is going to burn up? Because his kingdom's coming here. We're not going there. We're not going to get raptured out. It's not going to happen. It says occupy until the end. It says not to lose your faith. That's the key. Don't lose your faith as Job didn't lose his faith. Defeat the adversary now as Job defeated the adversary. Praise Yahweh instead of blaming him. He finally came around to realization that maybe there was some sin in his life that he didn't see, that he needed to clean up. Well, that holds true for me. I'm a work in progress, always will be. And I pretty much can guarantee that's the truth for you too. There's something in our lives. I'm not going to point fingers at other people without pointing them at the guy at the mirror. I'm an Adam just like you. I make mistakes, but I've been blessed with the Holy Spirit, so it eats me up when I know I've made a mistake and I have to make it right. Yahweh is all-powerful. The adversary, HaShatan, is not. He is an imitation divine being. And he's holding sway over this one little tiny corner of the universe right now. He's in charge on Earth. But that's only a temporary situation, too. That's what's going to happen. He's going to fool himself long enough until he runs out of time, and then that judgment day is going to come around and he's going to take a bunch of us with him to destruction. He's always hated the Adamic race. He was attacking them in the time of Job. He is going to attack them today. And the adversary's seed line, fathered by Cain, the Jews, quote unquote, Antichrist Jews, they are very much in charge right now, and they're sitting high on the hog, and they're pulling all their little puppet master strings and having these white politicians dance to their tune. They're going to suffer the same fate as their father. And all those that rebelled in heaven and left their first estate came down here and bred with the daughters of Adam and created all these half-breed, mongrel, demonic children that infest the world today. And the worshipers of stuff will suffer the fate of the stuff. They are numbered among the tares, and they will be bundled and burned. So let us not worry, brothers and sisters, when we look around us and see good things happening to bad people. You do not need to wonder why it is happening. The why is that the adversary is using these instances to try to break your faith and take away your hope in Yahweh. He tried it with Job. He has not changed his method of operation. He is trying it with us now. Yeshua Messiah said very clearly, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments were to keep the feasts, which we in Christian identity do. But your Judeo-Christian churches do not. They have substituted pagan holidays. And they want to make you feel as if you're doing wrong for keeping the holidays in the scriptural manner to break your faith. Now, who is running these churches? And why are they prospering? They are prospering because right now good things are happening to bad people. They build their super cathedrals. They have lavish lifestyles. And they worship the god of stuff. And they will say soothing, ear-tickling things in the pulpit so it doesn't make you nervous and it doesn't make you forget to put that money in that collection plate, and that's what it's about. They are deceivers. They are serving the adversary. They are teaching false doctrines, the feel-good prosperity doctrine that will put the sheep to sleep so the adversary can take as many of our people with him as he can. He is using deception. He is using outright violence. He is using financial pressure, peer pressure, pressure from the media, pressure from the movies, pressure from the TV, spies and infiltrators and liars on the internet. The stuff you find on the internet sometimes is appalling. He's doing it through the fake news outlets to psychologically break your faith. Yeshua said, occupy until the end. Well, it's getting closer and closer and closer to the end. There's going to be a time when Yahweh has had enough in his patience, his loving kindness that he has shown us repeatedly over the years will stop. And he's going to say, return, and Yeshua is going to come to rule. And this is what's going to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, those are the ones that are causing our deaths and our spiritual deaths and all the manners of hidden afflictions that we suffer, and to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. These are avenging angels that's coming back, folks. Not touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy, cute little cherubs. These are going to be killers. Sodom and Gomorrah-type destroyers. Verse 8, in flaming fire. You get that? Flaming fire? Taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim. And that includes the people that go to church all their life. But they don't really know Yahweh. And on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua. And obey what? Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What commandments did he give? He gave the commandments as Yahweh when he was fully with the Father. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. You understand everlasting destruction? From the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. When he comes to be esteemed in his set of part ones. That's the remnant, folks, that we're trying to recruit you into. And to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed. The disciples were witnessing to us in the New Testament. And it's our duty to pass that witness on and to try to get you to stop worshiping stuff and stop obeying the lies of the prince and power of the air, to realize who you are, Israel. That you white Western European descendants are Israel, not the hook-nosed, swarthy people, the usurers over in Israeli. They are imposters. So when you see today good things happening to bad people, know that it is a ploy of the adversary to break your faith. That's all it's been about from the very beginning. When he lied to Eve and seduced her and produced the first half-breed offspring, Cain. Been going on since then. I don't know how to better explain it to you why these evil people are seemingly so successful. But I assure you, it is only a temporary thing. They're not going to be able to take any of their stuff with them. So don't let this smoke and mirrors break your faith. Don't get down because you're poor. Because if you're poor and honest, you're better than a rich thief. There are some things that we're going to have to go through, hardships, because he said he will try us by fire. And this is the time of trying, brothers and sisters. Well, I'm coming down to the end of this very unconventional sermon today. I just felt led to do this a different way rather than just go with a laundry list of scripture. I'm trying to appeal to your common sense, to reason with you, to get you to wake up and see this ploy of the adversary that's going on for so long. The stuff that these bad people will accumulate, will burn, and the treasures we lay up in heaven will not. We will have eternal life, and they won't. And you can't put a price on that. May Yahweh bless and keep you. I will say Shalom Aleichem, that is peace be with you. And I will talk to you again on my word-to-word shows. Word for word. Shalom Aleichem. Yahweh bless.
Lift. Lift. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.